Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Rabbi Yeshiva with this week's Triasar podcast. Today's podcast will be the last installment of our study of Sefer Yonah. In the previous two podcasts, we have examined the different interpretations given for Yonah's behavior, his fleeing from before God and his objection to prophesying to the city of Nineveh. The first three interpretations understood Yonah's objection as one specific to the task before him, right? That he specifically did not want to prophesy to Nineveh because he knew that they would repent and that their repentance would bring about something bad. Either it would make Bnei Israel look bad, or it would ensure the survival of Nineveh, meaning of Ashur, who would become an enemy of Israel, or that Yonah, if the people of Nineveh repented, would be tagged in Avi Sheker because he had predicted the destruction of Nineveh and that would never come about. The fourth interpretation we discussed suggested that Yonah's objection to prophesying to Nineveh was an objection to the efficacy of repentance as a way of atonement, right? That it should not be that someone can sin, can do something wrong, do tshuva, and by that attain atonement, right? Rather, they should be punished, right? If someone does something wrong, they should be punished, and there's none of this business of doing tshuva in order to avoid punishment. Lastly, we noted one last opinion, that Yonah's objection was to Hashem's utilization of Midat HaRachamim in the running of his world, right? That in Yonah's opinion, according to this interpretation, it is unjust and incorrect to allow compassion, to allow Rachamim, to have a part in how people are judged and how the world functions. Today I would like to take this last interpretation a little bit further to try to understand some of the key moments of the story according to it. Whatever the correct interpretation of Yonah's motivation for running away from Hashem's request that he prophesy, it is probably correct to assume that whatever happens afterwards, right, Hashem's reaction to Yonah's flight and all that transpires thereafter, is somehow connected to what Yonah did and why he did it, meaning that Hashem's response to Yonah's action is somehow appropriate to what Yonah did. With that in mind, let's take a look at the story. Hashem's first response to Yonah's escape attempt to go to Tarshish, is to send a big storm. Yonah's response to Hashem's storm is to block it all out. Right? He goes down, you might recall, to the bottom of the boat, Liyarkete HaSfina, and he falls asleep, right? He's pretending that this is not happening. The natural response, as the captain, the Rav HaChovel, tells Yonah explicitly, is to act like the sailors, to cry out to God, to do something, anything. Why does Yonah not do this? So in keeping with the last interpretation of the book, perhaps Yonah does not pray because he believes that this is not how it should work. He has done something wrong, as he himself admits to the sailors. So praying will not, or at least in his opinion, should not help, right? Why should Hashem forgive him simply because he prays? But of course, it's easier to take that stance if you're hiding in the bowels of a boat, and so he does. This, however, puts the others, right, who did not sin, right, the sailors, etc., in danger. So Yonah admirably says, once, you know, his wrongdoing is pointed out to him, that they should throw him overboard. Because, after all, he's the only one who really deserves it. And so, indeed, they do this, and the storm stops. And all is good and well for those on the boat, right? They all now have a new appreciation of the Hebrew God. They all become believers, God-fearers. They sacrifices, and oaths are made, right? Everything is well for the people on the boat. But what about Yonah? A big fish comes along and swallows him up. From the way that the story is written, it seems that the fish came about immediately. Perek Aleph Pasuk Tedvav, the second to last Pasuk of the Perek, Vayisu et Yonah Vayitilu El Hayam Vayamod Ha'amizapo. They throw Yonah into the water, the storm stops. Pasuk Ted Zayin, the last Pasuk of the Perek, Vayu Anashim Yirag Dolat Hashem Vayizbechu Zevech Hashem Vayid Vayidru Nidarim, right? They're all God fearing and they make sacrifices, etc., etc. And the very first pasuk of Perek Bet, Vayiman Hashem Da Gadol Livloa Et Yonah, right? Let's hear it for the God of good timing, right? It seems, according to the way these psukim are written, that very little time passes, if at all, that Yonah has been thrown into the water and the dog, the big fish, comes immediately and swallows him up, saves him from the sea. Vayhi Yonah b'me'eh hadag shlosha yamim u'shlosha lelot vayitfalel Yonah el Hashem Elohav mi'me'eh hadaga. Right, Yonah is in the fish for 3 days and three nights, and Yonah prays from the belly of the fish, from the insides of the fish. We're not going to have time to look at all the various commentaries on the nature of Yonah's prayer inside. Suffice it to say for the moment that many commentaries interpret Yonah's prayer under the assumption that being in the fish is bad. Right, the Ibn Ezra, for example, quotes others, right, who are mistaken in his opinion, who state that that Yonah's prayer, which we're going to look at in a moment, was really said after he had already been spit back out of the fish, meaning that the prayer is written here not in chronological order, and that it actually was said after Yonah was outside of the fish again. The Ibn Ezra himself agrees in principle, but not with the conclusion. Right? In his opinion, Yonah is thanking Hashem. Right? The others also think that this is a prayer of thanks that was said by Yonah after he left the fish. So the Ibn Ezra agrees in principle that Yonah is thanking Hashem for saving him from the sea and from the fish, but he doesn't agree with the conclusion, right, that of the others, that therefore the tefillah must have been said after he was saved from the fish. But rather, he makes sense of this prayer by saying that the tefillah must have been said as an act of prophecy, right? That he is predicting that he will be saved from the fish in which he now sits, and therefore he is thanking Hashem while still in the fish for the fact that he will be saved. Let's take a moment to look at the tefillah to see what it is that the commentaries are commenting on. Vayitpalel Yonah El Hashem Elohav Mine Hadaga. Yonah prayed to Hashem from inside the fish. Vayomer Karati Mitzarali et El Hashem Vayaaneni Mibeten Sheol Shivati Shamata Koli. But I called out in my distress to Hashem, and he answered me. Right, from the belly of the grave I cried out, and you heard my voice. Right. So first of all, it's important to point out that this is being said in the past tense. I called out and you answered me, right? You heard my voice, right? This has already happened. His prayer has already been answered. So this is what leads those commentaries, both the Ibn Ezra himself and those that he quotes, to assume that this must be talking about when the trouble has already passed, which leads them to say this was either said after he was already saved from the fish, or as a prediction, as a prophecy that that he will be saved from the fish. I called out and you answered me. And the assumption that he is praying about being saved from the belly of the fish is found, the reason for that assumption is found in this pasuk also, right? Mi beten sheol shivati shamata koli. Right, from the belly of Sheol, from the belly of the grave, I cried out to you, and you heard my voice. Right, so it's understandable to say mi beten Sheol. Here is referring to the beten, the stomach of the fish. Vatashlicheni mitzula b'levav yamim v'nahar yisovaveni kol mishparecha v'galecha alai avaru. Right, you cast me into the heart of the seas, and a river surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. Right, so this is clearly a description of the water of the sea. Right, those who are talking about being saved from the fish, you know, the assumption being either that incorporates the fact that he was in the water beforehand, or the fact that the whale itself is also in the sea. Right, the ani Amarti nigrashti mineged einecha ach osis lahabit el heichal kodshecha. And I have said, I have been chased away from before your eyes, but I will continue to gaze upon your mikdash, right, your temple. Afafuni maim ad nefesh tehom yisoveveni suf chavush l'roshi. Water has surrounded me with ad nefesh. Which probably means, right, you know, until, you know, literally into covering my, in this case, nefesh being like, till I couldn't breathe. Tehom yisoveveni, right, the deep has surrounded me, has encompassed me. Suf chavush l'roshi, right, the probably the reeds are hanging over my head. Again, a description of being inside the water. Lekitzve harim yaradati ha'aretz. Ha'aretz b'richea ba'adi l'olam v'tal mishachat chayai Hashem Elokai. Right, I have gone down to the bottom of the mountains, right, presumably those which are down in the sea. But you, Hashem, have brought me back up. B'hit atev, again, past tense, right, you have already brought me back up. B'hit atev alai nafshi et Hashem V'hitatef alai nafshi et Hashem zacharti v'tavoy lecha tfilati el heichal kadshecha. When I grew faint, when I remembered Hashem, and my prayer came to you at in your mikdash, in your heichal. Mishmarim havle shav chastam ya'azovu v'ani b'kol toda izvecha lecha
Right,
those who are mishmarim havlesha, right, those who follow worthless things, right, will abandon these kindnesses, right. But I will give thanks to you, you know, by bringing sacrifices, right, and. So here Yonah is saying, as a recognition of my thanks to you, I will bring a korban. Vayomer Hashem ledag, vayakeet Yonah el hayabasha. Right, Hashem hears this prayer and he spits Yonah el hayabasha. Right, so as I said, many interpretations say that he is praying about being in the fish in the middle of all this wet, and you know, in the sea and in the fish, and that is what he is praying to get out of, and indeed Hashem saves him in the end. In addition to the Ibn Ezra and those whom he quotes, which I've already mentioned, many other commentaries as well think of it in this vein. Rashi, for example, right, who quotes the Midrashic idea that Yonah was first swallowed up by a male fish, where he had a lot of room and he was more comfortable, and then he is transferred to a female fish, which was less comfy, right, and it is there that he prays, also works under the assumption that ultimately being inside that fish is a negative experience, you know, an assumption which, you know, might be a natural assumption. I don't think many of us would think that being in a fish would be pleasant. And that being spit out is a sign of Hashem's salvation, right? The Da'at Mikra commentary, you know, a more recent commentary, also sees it in this light, right? Being in the fish is a very uncomfortable thing, and Yonah is praying to get out. A different view, however, sees the fish experience as, if not pleasant, at least something for which Yonah wants to thank Hashem. And having read the Tefillah now, we could see that this makes a lot of sense, right? Although being heard from Beten Sheol is a very nice metaphor for being in the belly of a fish, it's also an adept description of the ocean, right? Of the great Tehom, the great chasm of the ocean. And it could very well be describing that, right? Meaning that Yonah is not thanking Hashem for being saved from the fish. He's thanking Hashem for being saved from his experience in the ocean, or the water. The sea might be a more accurate word. Also, as we saw when we read the Tefillah, much of what Yonah describes as that which he was saved from are images of the sea, right? Of the swirling waters, the rapids, the whirlpools, etc. Now, again, while you could interpret that as being, you know, part of the experience of being in the whale, right? First of all, because he was in the ocean initially, and only afterwards was inside the fish, right? Whale is actually a misinterpretation there. He was inside, then he was only inside the big fish after being in the ocean. Or it's also possible that you could say that the fish itself was within this swirling, whirling water, and that inside the fish itself, it was probably very wet and uncomfortable and even scary, right? Envisioned, if you may, any cartoon you may have seen of a person being swallowed up by a whale with the water, fishing, flowing back and forth, right? The simpler shot, it would seem to be, right, that Yonah is describing being saved from the water, right? What we hear through Yonah's tefillah is a post facto description of what he undoubtedly experienced when he was thrown into the sea. Right? We don't hear about it then. It seems that the fish comes along right away. But what we are hearing now, in retrospect, is what he experienced when he was thrown into the sea. And as such, being swallowed by the fish is what saved him. Right? The fish is his salvation. Right, he is happy to be in the fish. Uriel Simon points out that, if I recall correctly, I might recall the source incorrectly. In all cases, that the being in the fish is like being back biyarkitei hasfina, right, in the belly of the ship. There, inside the fish, Yonah can once again in his cocoon. Right, his prayer in the fish is a prayer of thanks for being saved from the water. Right, he says he will go to give thanks to Hashem in the Mikdash because he sees being saved by the fish as a sign that he has regained Hashem's favor. Right, it is important, however, in terms of understanding what's going on here with Yonah and what Hashem is trying to do, that within this prayer of thanks, he recalls another prayer which he prayed previously. And that was when he calls out to Hashem to save him when he is being tossed about in the sea. Right. So what do we see here? So long as Yonah is hiding out in the belly of the boat, right, he's able to avoid the nastiness of exposure. He's able to avoid praying for help. Being thrown into the water forces him to confront the unpleasantness of the world in full force, right? Compare it, if you will, to going down with the Titanic after having taken a strong sleeping pill and going to sleep versus going down while standing on deck, right? So while he's faced with these, when he's finally facing these elements, right, face to face, he's no longer able to hide, then Yonah prays for compassion. And he calls out for Hashem to save him. The very same compassion, I will remind you, that he thought was wrong, right? He thought Hashem should not utilize in this world. Hashem's point, of course, by making Yonah go through all of this, is that it's very easy to say to Hashem that he should rule the world with Deen alone when you're fast asleep at the bottom of the boat, right? But pushing him out into the sea, Hashem is saying, okay, but it doesn't work that way in the real world, right? So once he's pushed out into the sea and he prays, Hashem answers him and he sends the fish. But once he's back in the fish, Yonah is back in his cocoon. So Hashem does what he must and he spits Yonah back into reality. This same message is spelled out more clearly in the Kikayon story in Perek Dalet. Right, so just as a reminder, in Perek Gimel, Yonah goes to Nineveh. He prophesies as they repent. He is grumpy. Hashem says to him, "Hahitziv charalach." Right, are you really so angry? Right, what are you so angry about? Hashem asks him. Right, and Yonah goes outside the city and he builds himself a sukkah. And Hashem, in his compassion, has a kikayon, right, a type of a plant, spring up and give shade to Yonah mi ra'ato. Right, it shades Yonah from the bad that was plaguing him. right? The word mira'ato, right, as is pointed out in the Dat Mikra commentary, is used here ironically, right? Because just before the ra'ah, which is plaguing Yonah, is the fact that Hashem has forgiven Nineveh. And now the ra'ah is his own personal suffering, right, the heat.